Jesus.
God is in this place.
And if you need his strength, just reach for it, because I've already ushered it in. But certainly giving all honor and praise to my heavenly Father. Oh, Jesus. Because I am in the second act picture. This is act two. Honor to my pastor, Norman E. Owens Jr. My executive pastor, Mike Lawrence. All of my friends in the ministry, wherever you are, each one of you have deposited something in me to give me the strength that I need today. To my ICB teachers, oh my God, what a blessing you've been to me, that I'm able, I have grown up to this point. So let me just say thank you from the bottom of my heart for all the outpouring of love and expressions. I am going to get around to reading all the Facebooks and texts and emails, and Lord Jesus, I got more cards. I'm going to be reading cards and condolences and letters for weeks to come. But that just says you love us. Amen. And we love you back. Amen. Amen. Now, all of you who knew my daughter and knew her well, y'all know she liked to party. Ain't no joke about it. She loved to party. So that, for that reason, we're going to honor her with a celebration. This ain't no dead feeling.
Amen.
Come on now. Because she is not dead.
Amen.
She is yet alive.
Amen.
He promised us that, and I believe it. Hallelujah. So I just ask you right now to connect with me as I take you on this little journey through the life of my firstborn.
Right.
Duanice Udette, which almost was Udella. Oh my God. I don't know what my mother-in-law was thinking about when she named her son Dwight Udell. But since I couldn't give him a son, I said, well, I'll give the baby your name. And man, I had a struggle with that. Udette. But Duanice Udette McContrell, and she says to me, Mama, why you give me a dumb name? My initials are D-U-M. That's dumb. Okay. So she decided, like Niecy said, to call herself Niecy. And the real reason I didn't need to give her a name, a nickname, there are two syllables in Duanice. In Delicia, there are three syllables. So when I would go on a rampage, I would get tongue-tied trying to say Delicia. It was just too much to say. So I started saying Lisi, because you can put emphasis on it when you're mad. You know, Lisi! Get in here, girl! I didn't have to do that with Duanice. I already had my two syllables. So she come up with this foolishness. I'm going to call myself Niecy, because you gave her a nickname and you didn't give me one. Didn't need to give you one. Two syllables, I could get it out, all right? But to me, she was my pooga-pooga. My puddin-puddin. You know when something is so sweet and you just don't have a name for it? You got to come up with a name that just suits that person. So she was my pooga-pooga. She said to me not too long ago, Mama, when you gonna stop calling me poo-poo and your put? Dog, I'm a grown woman. I mean, you can, I don't mind if you don't call me Niecy, but don't call me poo-poo. To which I replied, very matter-of-factly, you gonna always be my poo-poo and my puddin-puddin and my baby as long as you live. You don't ever get too grown for me to call you my baby. She just smiled and said, well, whatever. Lisa standing on the sideline said, call me baby. Call me your poo-poo. Mama, I'm going to be that forever, okay? Because Lisa knows it's some benefits with being my baby. See, I love that. And I can remember when she was born, I thought she was the most beautiful chocolate baby I had ever laid my eyes on. She was so precious, and I loved her so much. I loved her so much that I couldn't stand to leave her. And you know, back in the day, and she was 41, back in the day, 72, you still took 6 weeks to sit yourself at home. You didn't get pushed out of the hospital in 48 hours or 24 if they could get you out that quick. So I had my little 6 weeks, and it was time for me to go back to work at Pfizer over in East St. Louis. The day I was supposed to start, I called my boss and I said, "I'm sorry, I can't come back to work. I quit. I can't leave my poor girl. She gonna need me. And when she cry, I need to be there." So I didn't go to work. Then about 3 months later, I said, "Well, maybe I'm ready now." Y'all remember Sears Roebuck down on 10th and State Street? Went down to Sears Roebuck, put in my application for a secretary, and they sent me on the physical. I passed. And they told me I could start on such and such date. And the day I was supposed to start, I woke up, and I was sitting on the side of the bed just crying. My husband said, "What is wrong with you?" "I can't leave. I'm sorry. I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't want to leave my baby. I can't go. I can't go." And he said, "Well, why don't you just not go and stay at home and be a mother to your baby?" I called Sears Roebuck. "Excuse me. I really am sorry that I put you all through so much trouble, but I'm not going to be able to take your job. My job is that of a mother. And I love that baby so much. My mother gave me the best advice I ever could have gotten from anybody. She said, 'Girl, you need to have another baby.'" She said, "You need to have another baby, because if anything happens to that baby, they're going to have to bury you with her. Because you just have lost your mind. You act like can't nobody keep her, can't nobody change her, can't nobody do nothing." See, I got her up every morning. I gave her a bath and I fed her. And then I dressed her up every day. And they said, "Where's she going?" I said, "Nowhere. You don't lay around in your gyms all day. So she don't walk in. She got to look pretty. She got to look good every day." And then, because I was in an apartment that didn't have a washer and dryer, I decided, I don't like having to wash these dirty diapers in the tub. So I'm going to potty train this baby. So I started potty training her at 3 months old. How many of y'all went to Dr. Nash? Dr. Nash told me, "You are going to run that child crazy. She is going to be mentally disturbed because no baby knows to go and sit on the pot at 3 months old." I said, "Mine does, because it's a time thing with me. What is the rule in my house, family?
20 minutes.
20-minute rule. You put it in, 20 minutes later it comes out. I was on the clock, so I caught it 20 minutes after I put it in. That's a lesson to some of y'all trying to potty train folks. I can't stand these pull-ups, okay? Need to be bringing me a pull-up. See, young mothers, Pampers are for travel. They are not for sitting at home. Come on now. So when I go to a friend's house, I said, "Excuse me, can we use your restroom?" And they said, "Okay." And I take the baby with me. And they go, "Where are you going with the baby? She got to sit on the stool." "Huh? She's 6 months old. What do you mean sit on the stool? She got a potty." "How do you know?" "I just gave her a bottle, and now it's 21 minutes. If you delay me any longer, I'm going to have to change this diaper. And I didn't bring but two Pampers with me, okay? It's got to last." So with that advice that my mama gave me, I had a second baby. And I didn't wait very long. They're just 2 years apart, and it was the best thing I could have ever done. Because you know what? with a second baby, she had a playmate. I didn't have to be in front of her playing with her all the time. Ain't that right, Auntie Carlotta? Auntie Lottie Lottie was the one to keep her company for me. That's why my second baby come out looking like her, okay? She was always there. But not just because I would have two kids, but more because Duanis needed a companion, a playmate, a friend, a confidant, a sister extraordinaire who would grow to love her as much as I did. Someone she could order around and manipulate. And she did that. Someone she could exercise her authority over. Y'all heard about the peach seed, okay? But yet, somebody that she would protect. You see, with two of them, they could keep each other company while I tended to my chores. But on the other hand, I realized that Duanis, being the stronger of the two, had a way of always getting her way. She had me and Lisa wrapped around her little finger. I have to admit, I spoiled her. I spoiled her until the day she transitioned, because she was my baby. She never married because she didn't find somebody who could put up with her spoiled self, because I ruined her, okay? In our house, Duanis ruled. Me and Lisa would just go along with whatever she said. If she said we was eating hamburgers, we had to eat hamburgers. If she said we was eating hot dogs, we had to eat hot dogs. Now, because I loved her so much, I can remember her birthday, that she cooked dinner for me. Lord Jesus, this is how much you love your children. I came home, and they had the balloons and all of that. And sitting on the table in front of me was my birthday dinner. It was a bun with a hamburger. The bun was shining so you could see yourself in it. I was like, okay, what do we have here? She said, Mama, I cooked dinner for you. And sitting beside the hamburger was a bowl of popcorn. I took one bite in this greasy hamburger, and it was red on the inside. But I said, I will not let her think that I didn't appreciate this meal. So I ate that raw hamburger. Did she grease it with Vaseline? She greased it with bacon grease, okay? And y'all know when bacon grease get old and it get cold. But Mama ate that hamburger, and I ate that popcorn and the red Kool-Aid to wash it down. But that's how much I love that girl. That's what love will do for you. And I know Lisa already told you, Duanis was mischievous. She was always doing something she should not have. Joseph, that piano I bought for her, she carved DM in my brand new piano. And you know what? Just about maybe 6 months or so ago, I said to her, Duanis, why don't you just go ahead and tell me that you carved your initials in that piano? I ain't gonna whoop you. You are a grown woman now. Do not take that to your grave. Tell me that you carved your initials in that piano. And she said, Mama, I did it. I said, I know you did. I just wanted you to confess. I didn't want you to carry that to your grave. Thank you, Duanis, for admitting that you did. And Lissy's right. Ain't but two kids in the house. If I whoop both of them, I know I'm going to get the right one. But I finally said to this little girl, why don't you just stop taking whoopings for her and just tell me she did it? I will believe you because I already know she did. Oh, my God. She finally got up the courage to stand up to her sister one time. And I think it scared the daylights out of her. But she said, Mama, she gonna get me. She gonna get me. When you go to bed, she gonna get me. She gonna... I said, if she lay a hand on you, you let me know. So I'm sure some of your friends, her friends who are here, She had a way of manipulating you. She got what she wanted out of you, okay? She was so sweet and smile and all of that good stuff. And she really was a person that you had to love. Because we had a saying around the house, you gotta love her. No matter what, you gotta love her, okay? But if you ever wondered why she was so color coordinated, it was because when they were little, I would travel near and far from mall to mall trying to make sure I had the right color panties and socks and ribbons. Some of my friends don't have kids right now because they say, girl, you just frightened us with all that. You gotta run around and match all that. My mama said, you're the only person that I know put socks on a kid every day, summer, winter, spring, or fall, even with sandals. Well, I didn't want their feet to get dirty. Well, nothing wrong with socks. I made sure they matched. Come on now. So that's the way she was brought up. And that's why we are in our purple today, because that was her favorite color. She had so many talents that she just didn't know which way to turn. She could sing, she could act, she could decorate, write poetry, songs, style hair, anything she set her mind to do. She loved her friends and talking on that cell phone. She had a cell phone that gave her unlimited minutes. And she got a call one day and they told her, ma'am, you've used over 30,000 minutes. And that's just too many for one month. Well, you know she gave him a piece of her mind. She said, unlimited mean I can talk 24 hours a day if I want to. So I had to tell her, Duanice, finish your conversation on my porch. When you walk in my house, do not have that Bluetooth in your ear, and I'm thinking you're talking to me, and you're talking to Joyce, or you're talking to Tracy, or you're talking to Ray, or you're talking to somebody. I want you to talk to me. I was jealous of a cell phone, y'all. She gonna lose it. The people who sell those iPhones, they refuse to sell her another one. She had lost about five or six of them. They said, ma'am, I'm sorry. We think maybe you're getting these and you're reselling them or something. We can't sell you another iPhone. I kid you not. So there's so much I could say about her life. But God wanted me to help somebody here today.
Amen.
On Tuesday, October 22nd, I took Bernice to the hospital. St. Mary's Emergency for a nosebleed. Her nose had been bleeding since 10 o'clock or 8 o'clock on Monday night. And prior to it, on that Monday, I had gone to a homegoing service for the father-in-law of one of my classmates. I'm the designated person. I write the condolences for my class. On Saturday, the Saturday before, I had written and delivered a condolence. But I tell you, the words that I was giving to them were words that were meant for me. How can I tell somebody to hold to God's unchanging hand? And yet when the hand reaches down for me, I refuse it. There is something about the Word of God that is so comforting.
Yeah.
He gave me a preview because on that Thursday when she suffered her first seizure, he showed me that she was going to expire on my birthday. My birthday was Monday, October 28th. So if you would look at your obituary, you will see that she expired on my birthday. On October 24th, I called my family and I said, y'all need to get here. I don't think her time's gonna be very long. And I wanted everybody to see her. But each day, I saw her becoming weaker and weaker. And as she would begin to moan and groan with pain, I said to myself, God, what can I do? I feel her saying to me, Mama, fix this thing. You fix everything. You got the answer for everything. But I didn't have an answer. All I could do was stand in agony by her side. I refused to leave. They had to make me go home and take a bath. I said, I'm okay. She can't smell it. I'm good. But I ain't leaving. Come on, Deborah, you need to go and get some rest. So I got so comfortable, they decided to put us in a suite. They put us out of ICU, y'all. Y'all just had too much traffic coming up in there. And they said, we need to give her her own suite, her own waiting room, and you all just do your thing. I said, well, okay, maybe I can get a bed instead of this cot, this recliner chair. So they brought me a cot to stay beside her. But too often, out of selfishness, our prayer to God is to make them better and to let them live with little or no regard for the pain and the agony that they are suffering. Real love will let you see that they would be better off with him than to selfishly be here with me holding on to a shell of a person. Therefore, my prayer was that God would free her of her pain and then grant me the strength to let her go. So the God I serve, the God I trust, the God that I believe began to stir in my spirit. Getting me ready to accept the inevitable. Sometimes in order for the spirit to have his way, we have to make the atmosphere ready. You can't just have every and anybody not agreeing, touching and agreeing. You see, he showed me on Thursday, when she suffered that seizure, that my birthday was going to be the day. So on her birthday, y'all forgive me who weren't able to come and see her, but that was a day that the Lord was going to make his grand entrance. And I had to set the atmosphere. As we watched her go through seizure after seizure, you didn't need to see that. You need to remember her as she was. Songs. We whispered in her ear. We said all kinds of sweet nothings to her. And in the little bit of strength that she had, we could see a blink of an eye or just a lift of the hand. A tear would fall. God gave me an hour on Sunday morning to just pour into her spirit that I know you're going to a place where everything is all right. And it's all right for you to leave mama. Because I'm grateful to God for what he's done for me. So my prayer to God was, on my birthday, give me the greatest gift of all. Free her from her suffering and pain. Give me peace in my spirit. It was so painful watching her, knowing that there wasn't much that I could do to help her. But as I looked at her, I could feel her again saying, Mama, Mama, Mama. And the last words that she got out of her mouth on Thursday night, Mama! Mama! As they were trying to move her weak body from one position to another, that last word will resonate in my mind. That was a call for help. Not, Mama, pray that I get up out this bed. Mama, pray for some relief for me. And that's what I did. So if you want to be mad at anybody, be mad at me. Because I'm the one that asked him to take her. I know that God hears and answers prayers. We had prayed and sang songs most of the day, and because we ushered in the Spirit of the Lord, the time was right. couple of days before she transitioned, she was pulling at a string. The nose was bleeding, and they had to put this piece in her nose to keep it from bleeding. And it was clotting. There was a big clot. But this unit that they put in her nose had a little string. And she somehow, Miss Dwyane, she knows she can find the littlest of anything. She found that string. And they had already said if she pulled it out, she would bleed to death. I walked in the room, she had it halfway out of her nose, and I quick reacted. So we ended up, I said, can't you do something? I can't stand here and hold her hand all night. She's got strength. So you know what they did? They came in and they said, well, we can put a glove on her. So they came in. This is the glove. I said, that ain't even like a boxing glove. You call that a mitt? And they said, well, this will keep her from pulling or scratching. So when I saw this glove, you know my mind went over to 2 Timothy. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Truly, she did put up a fight. Because me and Lisa said, oh man, she got her fighting gloves on now. And with the little strength she had, she on her knee with this glove, like, I still can beat y'all. I don't care what you say. She was still fighting. I will keep this as a reminder that she has fought a good fight. Now, just because I'm not falling out on the floor and losing my mind, don't get it twisted. Remember how much I told you I love this child. I loved her too much to leave her and to go back to work. I loved her so much that if she were ever taken from me, they thought they'd have to bury me. Yes, I do love my daughter. Now more than ever, because we have a single bond. We share the same birthday. From now on, when I celebrate my birthday on October 28th, I will celebrate our birthday. My birthday in the natural and her spiritual birthday as she started her new life in eternity on October 28th, 2013. I will never celebrate her death because she is yet alive in her eternal home that God promised to anyone who would believe and accept his son as their Lord and Savior. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So on Monday night, I finally got some sweet rest. I slept better Monday night than I have in months. And I got a visitation from the Lord. And he told me I would eulogize my daughter in his strength. He gave me a message for each one of you. He said, I was to tell you the meaning of faith. He said, faith is believing. We're called believers because we are to believe his promises to be true. But as believers, we're actually unbelieving believers. Now, you know that's an oxymoron. Because when you see his word at work, you can't believe it. When I tell people I am wonderful, I am good with this thing, you say, I can't understand. How are you doing what you're doing? You don't recognize the rhema word. The rhema word says that I choose to allow the comforter to comfort me. If I call on him and say, God, give me peace, why do I refuse peace when he gives it to me? You are looking at the living word in action. When they go home. And that's what I'm doing today. I remember reading in my daily bread. You know, I read the word and I hadn't read it for so long. And then Saturday I picked it up and not having read it for a while, the subject was, who's telling the truth? It talks about a debate between Jesus and a group of people who believed he was making false claims about himself, but he kept telling them that he was telling the truth. And at the end of the story, you know how they always give you a point. That's why I know God's word is true. Here's my confirmation. At the end of that, it said, faith is believing. That's what he told me Monday night. We usually say faith is the evidence of things not seen, hoped for, and things, you know. Y'all know what I'm saying. Hello. It said, faith is believing the promise is true. Trusting in Jesus, your strength to renew. Resting so sweetly, secure in his word, shielded from danger with Jesus the Lord. That was what God told me in the dream. Believe his word. So this was confirmation. It's the same thing that he had already said. So that sweet rest I got, what does it say? Resting so sweetly. Hallelujah. It's just like when God sent his son, 1 John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So when God wrapped himself up in the flesh as Jesus, the Son of God, who was the epitome of God's word, and walked among men, they didn't recognize him. And many of them refused to accept him. Hallelujah. But today I'm standing here truly as a demonstration of the living word. The word says, I will give you peace that surpasses all understanding. So when you look at me, it's that peace that you see, yet you don't understand. Because you still say, I can't believe you ain't losing your mind. He said, I will keep you in perfect peace, all whose mind is stayed on me. So when I wrap my mind around his word of truth and allow this is the Rhema word, people. He said, I will send you a comforter, so I choose to allow the comforter to take up residence in this temple and comfort me. Why should I ask him for comfort, then refuse it when he gives it to me? I choose to allow him to do what he said he would do. The word says, when I am weak, he is strong. So it is him who is strengthening me. Yet you can't see it as strength. His word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I'm letting him do just that. Every day I get stronger and stronger because I know she is in a better place. I believe she's in a place where there is no more pain. There's no more suffering. Nothing but joy, joy, joy. All day. She's resting in that internal place that Jesus prepared for her. You got to get this thing. If the word is supposed to comfort you, let it. If it's supposed to strengthen you, let it. If it's supposed to bring you peace, let it. If it's to bring you joy in the morning, let it. I am letting it do all of those things. So this is what strength looks like. This is what peace looks like. This is what joy looks like. This is what comfort looks like. This is what strength looks like. Believe it, because it's real. And don't think that I didn't know my baby, but what I do know is God loved her more, and I'm all right with that. He just loaned her to me for that grateful, and I'm grateful for those 41 years to shower her with love. I was her mother. I was her father. I was her sister, I was her brother, a friend, a confidant, a cheerleader, her number one fan, always there to lend a helping hand, so no matter what the cost. Yes, I cried some tears, and I'm going to cry some more. But I've got joy, that unspeakable joy, that joy that comes in the morning. Like Lisa said, we don't have any regrets. I don't have nothing to feel guilty about, because everything I wanted to say or I did, I did it while she could hear me. Whatever she wanted, I was there to provide it for her. So there's no woulda, coulda, shoulda, or I wish I had. Okay? So let this be a lesson to you. If there's anyone in your family, and I ditto what my daughter said, get it right. Don't let that ought separate you from not just the love of your loved one, but from the love of God. Because he says, how can you love me and not love me back? Me that you can't see and your brother that you can't. How is it that you can do that? You speak it with forked tongue. And ain't no truth in you. Now God, I just want to say thank you. For the privilege of carrying Dwayne's, my little angel, for 9 months. Thank you for the privilege of nurturing and mothering her in the best way I knew how. Thank you for making me steward over her life and for trusting me to teach her your ways, then strengthening me to be the only mentor she would ever need. Thank you, Lord, for granting me that extra portion of mother's love to love her even when she was unlovable. To look beyond her faults and yet meet her needs. To love her unconditional in good times and in bad times. Thank you, Lord, for undergirding me with strength beyond my own abilities. And to stand by her side week after week, day after day, hour after hour, as she slowly began to transition to you. What a privilege it has been to serve you, Lord, in this manner. My only hope is that I did not fail you. Nor did I disappoint you. Nor even displease you, Lord, in my role as her earthly mother. Thank you for the gift of life you gave to me on May 15, 1972. And for the gift of her new life on my birthday, October 28th. We now share a common bond until eternity, so that when I celebrate my natural birthday, you've granted me the gift of celebrating her spiritual birthday in that eternal life you promised to all of those who believe in you. I trust you, Lord. I trust you today, Lord, to continue to provide strength for me and my family and all of you who loved her. I know that you already had a plan to fill the void as we now pass on all of our love for her to our newest gift. Our miracle baby, Rajay Marquise Jr., who pressed his way into this world on August 22nd, 3 months premature, just so he could meet his grandma. She said, I ain't gonna be no grandma, I'm grandma, diva that she was. So she will now live on through him with us because he's a part of her. Amen. So in this manner, I can truly say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I count it all joy. God bless you.